Bringing something out of nothing. For some of you, this might be a boring topic. Maybe you don't think deeply on that subject of bringing something out of nothing. And maybe some of you are extremely creative and are able to bring something out of nothing. For me, I'm an avid fly fisherman, and I during the winter months, typically I will create my own lures, create little tiny flies out of little pieces of metal, added, meaning the hooks, and then adding some yarn and different other types of materials, feathers, synthetic furs, and different things, creating a small insect that will trick the fish into being caught, creating something out of nothing. For me and my cooking schemes, I've wanted to endeavor on something of the creative way that I just still am at a point of how can this be that you can take avocados as part of the ingredient and make brownies. I'm just perplexed at that kind of thought. Avocados? To me, that doesn't involve brownies. Creating something out of nothing. Friends, it's my hope and prayer this morning that you will allow the living God to breathe life-giving breath into your soul. It's our desperate need in these final moments, friends. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit. God of heaven, we are coming to you as a broken people. Many of us are dry. Many of us are questioning what's even the purpose. And I pray, living God, that you will speak life-giving words into that person's soul. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, thank you for being a part of us, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. This is somewhat of an eerie passage of Scripture, somewhat of a contemplative passage of Scripture. And as we will learn this morning, we will see the mighty hand of the living God wanting to resurrect, wanting to restore. Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 1. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord." So the hand of the Lord has come upon Ezekiel, has taken hold of him and placed him out in the midst of a valley. So the hand of the Lord comes upon each of us. The hand of the Lord comes upon you. And I have a question, how has that hand been perceived? Has it been somewhat of a vengeful hand? Has it been a hand of hard judgment coming down swift? Or has it been a hand of sweet, loving care? Is it one that is lifting you up on eagle's wings? Is it a hand of a loving God Almighty, like a hen protecting her chicks from inflicting harm? I am here to testify to you this morning that the hand of the living God has been on my life, a loving, gentle, compassionate God. Ezekiel is taken into the midst of a valley, continuing in verse 1. "And set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of dry bones." Now, Ezekiel must have asked the question, what on earth is going on here? Why are these bones all over the earth? Why aren't they buried? Was there some kind of horrific battle that was fought here that no one was left to survive to have buried the bones? Now, the context of understanding the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel wrote his book while in captivity. Captivity to the Babylonians. So he, alongside of Daniel, were writing what God had told them to write. Now, what could possibly be what's coming into Ezekiel's mind is God is showing all of those foolish Israelites who didn't give in, listen to the words of Jeremiah, to go into captivity, but they fought back. Maybe that's what Ezekiel is seeing. Because that's what Nebuchadnezzar did to all those who didn't obey and didn't follow. He had them killed. And one thing that we need to understand as well in this day and age is that conquering kingdoms, when they would come into a nation, they would take out the burial places and they would throw the bones of all the former out into open areas, destroying any kind of history, destroying any kind of respect for the dead. But we are told in verse 11, as we'll get there, that this is the whole house of Israel. So that's what we need to understand in the exegetical form of seeing what is being said here. This is the whole house of Israel. Continuing in verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. Ezekiel is seeing something that God wants him to fully examine. Because at first, all he sees is just a bunch of scattered bones. But the Lord picks him up and causes him to go around to see all of it. Everything. Ezekiel is not just seeing a few bodies strung around, but a quantity that cannot even be numbered. Ezekiel is perplexed, he's confused, and we can see this through the language that he's speaking. Ezekiel used an interjection word of behold. So this behold, it's an exclamation of a word that cannot stand alone, or that can stand alone grammatically. So what it does, it grabs the listener's attention. It causes us to go into deeper into what Ezekiel is being shown. Behold, there were very many in the open valley. So for us to understand, we don't necessarily use behold or something like that. It's the, oh my word. And then what is your knee-jerk response? What? What's going on? Or it might be, you know, a gasp. And then that, again, that causes the human to say, what? What's happening? What is it? That's exactly what Ezekiel is saying, but he doesn't just use one interjectory word. He uses another. Indeed, indeed, there are very, very dry. No life, nothing left. They are whitewashed by the sun in the standing desert. Nothing. Ezekiel is being shown something from his human perspective that seems possibly purposeless? I want you to know, friends, God will take you to a place that might seem purposeless. And he's not just going to let you do a little quick flyby and think that, okay, I understand the situation. But what God is going to cause you to do is to pass by every situation closely. And that place for you might be a barren place. It might be a friendship. Lord forbid, it might be a marriage, a job. Whatever the situation might be for you, you may be thinking in your human perspective, this is God's sole purpose to ruin me. That's what it feels like death. Ezekiel is being shown something that has no purpose to the human perspective. A graveyard? Is God showing his ability to annihilate humans and say, see what I have done, behold? Because today's day and age, friends, you might as well just lock your doors and never come out again if that is the God that we serve. If you would work for God, friends, he will take you to a place that might seem purposeless. It's impossible. Do you not know the hand of God moving in your life? Ezekiel recognizes God, lifting him up. God will speak in the uncertain moments. Maybe it's a voice of sheer wonder, of amazement. One that when he speaks, the birds hush their singing. But sometimes, more often than not, it seems as if God asks silly questions. Ones that from the human perspective seem odd, seem crazy. And let's see the question that Yahweh, the Lord God, asks Ezekiel in verse 3. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Remember, he will take you to places that might seem purposeless. Can these bones live? Impossible, God. There's no way. Do you not know God's hand moving in your life? Ezekiel does. He's wise enough to know who is asking the question, can these bones live? Friends, can the marriage live? Seems pretty dry, God. Nothing's alive anymore. The living God is asking the question, can it live? Can the friendship last? Seems pretty dead, God. It's lost all its drive. The living God is asking, can it live? Can the job still go on under these conditions? The virus has made it impossible to work. I do still have my job, but I can't stand my coworkers. Seems pretty dry, God. The living God is asking you, can it live? Can it live? Ezekiel knows the hand of the living God moving on him. He knows the God in which is asking the question, and he follows up answering the question, oh, Lord God, you know. You know, oh Lord, you know. A wondrous question is asked by the living God. I believe Ezekiel is not struggling with, or suggesting even, or struggling with the thought of resurrection. It isn't unfamiliar to him. He knows what resurrection's all about. He knows about Elijah and Elisha. I believe Ezekiel is in sheer wonder, though, of the living God asking him the question. Friends, do you know God's hand moving in your life? When God's asking a question, will you say the human point of view? Leaving God's wondrous work to be displayed, void of exciting, perplexing, jaw-dropping, make you fall to your knees and worship him? Oh, Lord God, you know. And then the Lord speaks to Isaiah in verses 4 through 6. Again, he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Prophesy to these bones. Now let's do a little bit of Hebrew study, a little bit of understanding the Hebrew language. So prophesy might be a little bit of a confusing word to you, one that is of something of old. That doesn't happen nowadays. But let's go in a little bit deeper. So this is in the Hebrew passive form of Nephiel. I don't expect you all to know that, but it is meaning to convey an action. So God spoke to Ezekiel the words to say to the dry bones, and it's called to prophesy. So this is the action in which God is asking Ezekiel to do. Prophesy. So think of me of a Coke bottle or a Sprite bottle or something that has a little bit of carbonation to it. Use your imagination. And then when you open that up, what happens? A fizz and a little bit of bubble. But think about being shook up and dropped on the ground. What's going to happen? It's going to be an eruption and overflowing. And that's the sense of this word of prophesy, is to cause to bubble over. So henceforth, to pour forth words abundantly in divine emotion in the mind. You see, the true prophets of old were not moved by their own power, rather by the power of God. Holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel follows the command in verse 7. So I prophesied and as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh upon them and the skin covering over them, but there was no breath in them. What happens first, friends? A noise, a thundering, a sound was first heard. Notice that it wasn't the rattling of the bones that was first heard, but a noise closely relating to a calling sound or a voice or the hooves beating in the distance. It's not the coming of the dry bones together first, but it was the movement of the wind, the rumbling of the coming storm. It happened exactly as Jehovah had announced to Ezekiel in verses 4 through 6. But let's look back at verse 5. What does it say in verse 5? Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. No breath was yet in the bodies. No wind, no ruach. This is the word of the Hebrew. This is spirit. It has a threefold meaning, breath, wind, or spirit. God will take you to a place that might seem purposeless. Ezekiel is seeing all these amazing things happening, watching all the bones kind of gathering together like you drop a magnet into a nail pile, and then they all come together. Ezekiel is seeing something amazing, perplexing happen. But who are the bones? Who are the dry, lifeless bones? Keep that in mind. Verses 9 through 10. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come forth the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. God is saying, prophesy to the breath, to the wind, to the spirit. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath. Don't lose your momentum. Don't stop to question the impossible situation in the human perspective. Don't listen to the other voices nowadays calling you a fool, a follower of a God who leads to a foolish place. A thought of things will go on as they always have. Don't listen to those voices, friends. Keep moving in the power that Jesus is giving you. Speak words of life. The God of heaven is wanting to bring life back into you. Your marriage, your friendships, your life. You could be a part of this great army. Not a bloodthirsty army, not a one of a manipulative control of militia power, but a restoration of the heavenly spirit-led power. One of love, one of joy, an army of peace, an army of patience. Do you want to be a part of an army that is full of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Will you allow this restoration to take hold of you, friend? I ask you in this time of trouble that we're living in, whose words are you speaking? Are they words of political words from the extreme left to the extreme right ideology? What you should do in this situation and what you shouldn't do in that situation? Are you trying to speak empty words in what seems a purposeless situation? The human perspective situation? God is so desiring to have a people ready to make the last and final cry. Will you allow Him to speak? Will you allow Him to make the calls in your life? Will you hush your mouth and let Him reign, Jesus supreme, in your life? During this day and age, and even times, possibly now in our day and age, trumpets were sounded. And there was a certain blast in which people knew what certain sounds meant. Not going into the complexity of the different variety of sounds, but ask the question, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for battle? Friend, what are you saying with the life breath that God has given you? How do the bones, the dry, no life in them, dry bones come back to life? Let's go back to verse 4. Again, he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Where is the word of the Lord in your speech? I'm seeing on me personally in my own sphere of Facebook, I'm seeing conversations. I'm paying attention to some of the conversations that some of you are having. And guess what? Other people are looking at those conversations as well. Where is God's word in your passion? Where are the words of our loving Jesus? Words of life. God is wanting to move forward in Holy Spirit power, friends. We cannot be truly restored unless a renewed heart and character. God promises restoration. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may also be. Friends, this isn't just about ancient Israel's restoration after the Babylonian captivity. God is desiring a spiritual restoration today in your life. Is your soul dead in sin? God's word will pick you up. Is your valley full of dry, dead bones? God's word will pick you up. In your struggle, are you struggling with lying, using words that are kind of white lies? Are you stealing? Are you cheating? Are you looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at? Always claiming that it's nothing, justifying. In your struggles to have the last word. In your struggles to think that your way and what you say is the right way. God's word, friends, will pick you up. He will place you in the right places. He will make you see the death, the bones, friends, that you've caused, that you've chosen. I ask you, can these bones live? What can the power of man accomplish? Do your words have life-giving breath in them? Do you always in your point of view have in your own strength, your own wisdom, none alone but you, God? You know, Almighty God. Do you have the expectation that God will fulfill his promises? Are you waiting on God? God will pick you up. He will cause you to see the light sent from heaven, light that came into darkness. Jesus came, friends, to bring new life in you, to bring your life back into your soul. Friends, you as a movement, as a Seventh-day Adventist movement, are bearers of light. God has given you that purpose. God has given you that drive. Are you dry? Are you scattered? Are you fumbling in the wind to find any purpose? Do you feel purposeless, friends? Verses 12 through 14, therefore prophesy to them and say, thus says the Lord, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come from your graves and bring you into a land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord, and I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. You shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and perform it, says the Lord. The power, friends, of resurrection. This goes deeper than just in Christ's resurrection, but the resurrection that Christ wants to do in your soul. In what seems a pointless, purposeless life, God will lead you to places that may feel purposeless, but by you waiting there, waiting on the hand of the Lord, waiting to hear the voice of the Lord, he can resurrect you in purpose. power. Friends, are you waiting and wanting to be recreated anew this morning? Are you feeling on edge that there is something about to break forth? Holy Spirit power is waiting to enter into your life. Allow the living God to breathe into you so that you, friend, you in your pointless situation can be a mighty and strong army for the Lord God. Listen to His voice calling you. Don't always linger in your own ideas and way of thinking. Be smart about what you're doing, but listen to the voice of the Lord God Almighty speaking into your life, and it's only found in His Word, friends. Make it a part of your day. Make it a part of your life. Get alone with God and find Him. He will be there waiting with open arms for you. If your desire this morning is to have a closer walk with Jesus, now come to Him. Now is the time to let go of yourself, to let go of the pointless situations. Allow Holy Spirit to resurrect new wind in your soul. God is waiting on you, friends. Don't let His arms be open bare. Go, run to Him at this moment. Oh, He's done so much for you. Find Him now. Let's pray together that the Lord, living God, will breathe into your heart, breathe into your soul, breathe into what might seem a pointless, purposeless life. God wants to do something amazing in your life. I ask you now, wherever you may be, that you will kneel with me. And though it may seem odd, God is looking down on you. God wants you right now. God of heaven, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our intercessor. Jesus, I pray in your name, that you will put a hedge of protection around your people, that you will unite them in your Holy Spirit power, that you will do wonderful things to resurrect the dead souls that live, Father. Allow us to be knitted together, to be a band of army that you breathe into us. Bring light, bring purpose, bring joy, bring peace. Be with those who are crying out to you right now, Lord Jesus. Comfort them. Be the shepherd in which you promised to be over their life. Thank you so much for your wonderful blood, Jesus. Pour it out, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.